Proverbs chapter 28, please. Would you read aloud with me verse 1? Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Father, we thank you for this afternoon's opportunity we have once again to gather around the Word of God. Speak to our hearts in these few moments that we have together before we make our way to our homes, visit with family and friends, back to our places of employment and occupation during this week. Lord, would you please infuse our hearts and minds with your word. May we carry from this place a new love and a passion for you and a passion for the lost world that you love so desperately. Forgive us, O God, for our lethargy, our apathy, our indifference. Lord, our reticence concerning the Word of God. I just pray that you would quicken our hearts and our minds. Infuse us, O God, with your passion, with your purpose in our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Could we be honest this afternoon and say that all of us need a little more boldness? We are easily silenced. There are many reasons why God's people are often silent when we should be speaking. Now, there's a time to be silent. But I tell you what, there are far more opportunities that God has given us to speak, and we have not. If you and I want to cultivate a heart for the harvest, I believe there is a quality here in the people of God that He would impart to us this afternoon, and that is an understanding of what boldness is and how to make it a part of your daily life, your thinking, and your witness. Let's look at a few scriptures together, shall we? In John chapter 5, if you're taking a few notes, jot these down. We're not going to have time to go through each one of them because the light is dangling. Oh, but I'll tell you what, you know, Baptist preachers that are notorious. I hate wearing a timepiece on my... But someone in the congregation's already given me a watch. Isn't that great? I said, please don't persecute us any longer than you absolutely have to. We must go. We have things to do. Yeah. I don't think you're going to the mission field, though. I think you're going home. Oh, my goodness. John chapter 7, verses 25 and 26. Notice what we have here. The idea of speaking boldly. I am amazed at the Lord was so gracious. They said that no man spake like this man. They marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. One day, if we peer into his life, we see him in the temple fashioning a cord and driving people from there for making a mockery of God's house. He says, it's a house of prayer. You made it a den of thieves. The Lord had appropriate words for the occasion, didn't he? He was not just bombastic and arrogant and proud and just hammering people with truth. He was delicate with people. He knew how to address the situation as it came to him. And that's a great quality that our Lord demonstrated and modeled for us. But here in John 5, we see him speaking boldly. I'm amazed at you could take any segment of the Lord's life and find these delightful qualities. But one that amazes me is as he stands before Pilate. Those simple words. And sometimes the silence. There are days when your silence is far more profound than anything you could say. Right? So these are some delightful qualities we want to look at here for a moment. In Acts chapter 4, when we find the disciples of the Lord, we're going to look at two verses in Acts chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. There is a time to speak boldly and plainly. And sometimes the simplicity of those words are very eloquent. They're going to be very powerful. You and I live in a time and an age when we we find that tolerance is kind of the that's kind of the way we're going to do it. We find that here in Singapore. You see it in the States. We do not we just want everybody to kind of get along. But I'm going to tell you, folks, my Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is no other name. No other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. What is that name? It's Buddha. I'm sorry. Good heavens. It's Allah. Well, you see, in their culture and their language, we're all talking about God, right? I mean, amen. Give it a break. No, there's a name. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no wiggle room there. There's no compromise. And if you're going to go to heaven, His name is Jesus. Verse 13. Now when they saw the belligerence and the intolerance of these men. This is boldness. Boldness is what then? Boldness is simply to proclaim the truth when others do not want to hear the truth. The truth costs Jesus His life. He dared to challenge. He dared to defy. Was He being defiant? No. Was He challenging? No. He was just proclaiming truth. Ladies and gentlemen, truth will get you in enough trouble. You don't have to be argumentative. And, you know, we don't have to tear down what the other religions are not. You just lift up the name of Jesus. That'll get you in enough trouble. Proclaim His name. His name. Now, when they saw, verse 13, the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they what? Where does this boldness come from? You don't have to go to a seminar. You can have some charismatic person whip you up into a frenzy or build up your ego and tell you that you can do this and you know, study and pass an exam, become proficient in a language or some skill to impress and to woo people. We're not trying to enlist or solicit people into our faith. These were just ignorant and unlearned men. But there was a key factor here. This boldness came from their relationship with Jesus Christ. That's amazing. Any age, male, female, regardless of education, God calls us to be bold proclaimers of His truth. Are you bold? I'm not. I need to be more. Could we all say that? We just say, you know what? When I try to talk about Jesus, I sound like a... I'm a big old chicken. Can we just all be honest and just you know what? We're chicken. We worry about what other people think, what other people are going to say, because we have this innate craving to be accepted by other people. And we don't want to sound, you know, divisive or arrogant or, you know, intolerant of other people. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. If you and I will walk with our God, He will nudge you. He will impress upon you the absolute, the necessity. It is essential that you and I proclaim the name of Jesus to lost people. So we're going to dismiss early here, and we're going to go outside, and we'll get to practice that. Some of you, I'm going out the back door. I'll start next week. Acts chapter 4, while we're here, verse 29. You and I will find out very quickly in our Christian life that it's not easy. It is not, you know, getting saved, that's the beginning. That's the easy part, isn't it? Verse 29, notice what happens early on. And now, Lord, behold their, what? Oh, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. In the face of adversity, in the face of rejection, these people didn't plead for compromise. for healing, for reconciliation. They said, Lord, these people, we have spoken your word, and what we have in return is not acceptance or conversions. We have opposition, adversity, threatenings. That's why they talk about the measure of success is how much it takes to get you to stop. Would you be here next Sunday if they said the security forces will be here? We're going to confiscate your finances. You keep coming, we're going to beat you. Would you be here? Melody and I have got a plane to catch on Monday, but I would be here. I would. I'd be right there, supporting you. Lord, you see they're threatening. Lord, we're trying to do what you're telling us to do, but these people are going to hurt us. But they, Lord, you have to protect us. Oh, man, we have messed up. What do they say? Lord, give us boldness in the face of adversity. Christianity is not a cakewalk. The history of the church is a bloody one. Verse 31. Here's the key. When they had, what? The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You want to be bold? Get down on your face. Confess your fear. Confess your adversaries. Confess your confidence in your God. The filling of God's Spirit will protect you, preserve you, and proclaim through you the truth of God's Word. Now, you know, it's easy, and we can kind of giggle nervously in here together, but your faith is going to be lived out there, just you. Just you. On the trains, on the buses, in the places of commerce, with strangers, people you don't know. And it's lonely. How do you get this boldness? Is it when we all get together and hoorah? This is boldness when you're alone. And the secret to securing the blessing of boldness is prayer. Because God will infuse you with His Holy Spirit. I've often wondered how real my faith is. Your faith will be tested, right? Peter talks about the trial of your faith, more precious than gold. It will be tried with what? Fire. We all, I think, have this desire. Lord, if I got the real thing, am I the real deal? If I was a believer back then in the Colosseum, chained to the stake while the lions are ravaging my friends, and I'm next. Don't you really want to know what you're made out of? Don't you really want to know how real that indwelling Christ is to you? Buy a ticket. Go to France, Japan, Thailand. You just about pick a spot on the map. You've heard the cliche, you can't take the gospel to the wrong address. Right. Anywhere you go. Hey, I've got a tough mission field for you. Your apartment block. Your classmates. People where you work. The whole world is our mission field, and boldness will be required everywhere you go. Acts chapter 18, please. Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, verse 25 and 26. What is boldness and what boldness is not? This man could be any man. This man could be you. Any man, woman, boy or girl. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Boldness. Boldness is not a quality that comes with a graduation diploma. You don't have to wait until you're a graduate of seminary to be a bold witness for the Savior. That's good news, isn't it? Bold believers start right away. God's not asking you to be spiritually mature, intellectually sound, doctrinally perfect. Just tell people what's happened to you. If you've been saved, you've got something to say. Amen?
Right.
Amen. All right, somebody stand up and tell me. What? Give me a testimony. Over here. One man, one girl. I don't care if it's 4 o'clock. The preacher's got money. He can pay for this room. Yes. Yes, sir, right there. In the blue shirt and the cool tie. Yes, sir, you right there. Yes, sir, you. Oh, man, I've got two. I got two for one. That's better than a shotgun. I was asking for this young man right here, but you are perfect. Yes.
I praise and thank God for God giving me a permission to
attack to
me, my loved ones, and all
of this. Wonderful. Do you struggle with boldness?
Yes, sir.
You know, I think for me, it is really, we're afraid. I'm not bold because I'm afraid. I'm not bold because I'm busy. That's a great excuse. Does that work for you guys? Lord, I'd love to, but I got to go. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for raising your hand. Perfect. Amen. Yes. You can just share the blessing you shared with me this morning. That's great. That was wonderful.
I thank God that finally my house
made one to come to church. Amen.
After all,
amen. Amen. Thank you. These believers were humble in private on their face before God. We go to God and we pour out our fears, our insecurities. But you see, we've got a great God, and God's not scared. We're scared. We're busy. We're distracted. We're a million other things. But we know we've got a great God. And as you share your testimonies with me, some things I heard today just thrill my soul. You see, you get alone with God in private, and you pray, and you beg God, God's going to do stuff. And if we'll yield ourselves to Him, you just speak a word in due season. Now, boldness doesn't mean loud. Right? But it does mean to speak. To just speak a word. On this side, yes. One at a time. Don't make me do this. Ladies first. Okay, gentlemen. What gentlemen? I'm telling you, that's amazing. Yes, sir.
Praise God, man. After about a decade, through God's grace, my parents got saved. Before I was even a Christian, in my household, my parents got everyone, my parents, my wife's friends, and my siblings, all civil servants.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Why is it important? You know, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We need to hear about one another's battles, struggles, burdens, tears, fears. That strengthens one another. And I think that's why we need to share those testimonies with each other. It's powerful, isn't it? It humbles us. Realize that God is our source of strength. He is the one that's going to infuse us with that boldness. Okay, ladies. I've got all afternoon, folks. I'm good. Some of y'all are just wiggling in your seat. That's good. Ruth, okay, I will let you stand up. She's up here. Ruth, what have you got to say? What do you have to say for Jesus?
I thank God I was born in a Christian family.
Mm.
I got to go to church since I was young.
Amen. You've been a great blessing. It was thrilling for me to hear this morning what your teachers have said about you. Isn't that a blessing? Doesn't that encourage you?
Yes. Amen.
God, you're hanging me out here. Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 3. Boldness. Boldness is not brashness. Boldness is not arrogance on steroids. Boldness is a calm confidence in the authority and the power of the words that you speak. They're not our words. It's not in our power. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Verse 11 is talking about in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Verse 12, see this little phrase here. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. This is a tremendous verse that will help you. And we tie verse 11, it's talking about the Lord. And then verse 12, say that with me. In whom? You see, that boldness... It doesn't depend on what school you graduated from, who your mom and daddy were, what your background is, your future, your present. It's so wonderful. Our boldness is in Him. Just like we're saved by His faith. It's not our faith. We don't have faith. Faith is a gift of God. You know, Paul talks about that in Galatians 2:20. I live by the faith of Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. So everything else in our Christian life goes to Him. But suddenly we get intimidated when we talk about being a witness, having a heart for lost people. It's like, oh, I can't do that. Now, just like He gave you everything else, He will give you boldness. Now look at this verse for just a moment, verse 12. In whom we have... What all do we have in Christ? Well, my goodness, we have all things. Why does this recurrent theme of boldness come up over and over again? I think the Lord knows that we're deficient in it. You know, I've been trying, my wife and I, Melody and I, have been married for 32 years, and I keep trying to tell her I have a daily deficiency of caffeine and chocolate. It's important. For some reason, she doesn't believe that. This Singapore coffee, y'all have got to be careful. That's probably a prescription drug. But, man, that gets you fired up. We all have our little favorite things, don't we? Listen, you know what? Jesus will fire you up. Jesus will so infuse you with a sense of love for Him. Talking about Him is going to be something. You've got to do it. It's going to happen. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence. See how all that goes together? You have access to God. You're encouraged to come boldly into the throne of grace. You'll find help in time of need. When you are given an opportunity, wherever it is, however brief that opportunity may be, to speak a word for Jesus, you're scared to death and you're going, oh Lord, I need help. Just open your mouth wide, God said, and I will what? I will fill it.
Amen.
It's tough. Silent believers. Churches are full of them. May God give us this boldness. Very quickly, moving on to Ecclesiastes, please, chapter 6. This boldness comes when individual believers spend time alone with God and they cultivate that vertical relationship. And we alluded to that a little bit this morning, that once we establish and maintain that healthy vertical relationship, these horizontals are going to start developing naturally as an outflow of that. Here, what I want to show you is this delightful, an auxiliary, if you will, an ancillary concept of boldness is going to be when you and I share together and we ask for prayer for one another. Ephesians 6, verse 19. What did I say? Y'all got to pay more attention. Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. Right? We're going to Ephesians, and that's somewhere in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm just seeing if you guys are paying attention. If you're on, everybody's full. Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Now that you're all confused, good. Okay, Ephesians 6. Paul says, Ephesians 6:19 and 20, He says, pray. He's saying, you know, pray for us. I need help. Are you praying for your pastor? You know, just because he's a pastor, you think, man, he's got it together. He's got it down pat. He needs your prayer. Every day. Pray for us. Pray for one another. Pray for your teachers, for all of your workers. What does he say? Pray for me. Pray for us. He says, that I may open my mouth. Verse 20. That I may speak boldly. Oh, there's the catchphrase. As I ought to speak. God wants you to be vocal. God wants you to be verbal in your witness. Now, we talk about modeling Christianity and a lifestyle witness, lifestyle evangelism. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's a cop-out for us. God didn't just say, walk around and be a cool Christian. Guess what? Oh, you must be a Christian. How'd you guess? It doesn't work that way. Proclaim boldly. He says, pray for me that I may... Oh. Why don't we do that? Listen to me. The fear of the world has become greater than our love for Christ. And that's all I can... That's the bottom line. That's all I can figure. The fear of the world has overshadowed and overwhelmed our love for Christ. You know, if you've got something else, please let me know. But I really believe that's what it is. And you and I are going to have to deal with that in our life. I'm scared. I'm scared of the world. What does the Bible say? Perfect love does what? Yes. Cast out fear. What did the Lord say? I have not given you a spirit of, but of? Awesome, isn't it? That's boldness. That's the gift of God. That's that package that He gives to us. He will remove fear. We need to cultivate that vertical love relationship with Christ so that we will be these bold witnesses that we should be. Philippians chapter 1, please. Philippians chapter 1, verse 14. Philippians 1, verse 14. Paul's writing says, and many have waxed confident by my bonds, and they are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Who has not been challenged and stirred by the testimony of believers in China imprisoned for their faith? I'll never forget. Years ago, Melody and I went to China, you know, great white missionary. Going to go talk to these fellows and folks about Jesus. Poor little heathen. I went over there, green as a gourd, arrogant, proud, stupid, ignorant. You know, the Lord has a way of going... I'll never forget the day. This little man came in and sat down on my sofa. 25 years... in a Chinese prison. His crime? Loving Christ. I went to school that night. I got an education that night. What do you have to say? Paul says these people have waxed confident, bold because of my bonds. Those who can, won't. And often those who could, cannot. What are you and I going to say to the believers, to the martyrs, when we stand before God? We're going to be around some pretty awesome saints. Right? Go to Hebrews 11 and read. The roster. Whew. Sawn asunder. Great price has been paid to proclaim this message. Are we going to be fearful, silent, hidden, secret believers? Nothing to say. To say nothing of standing before the Lord. Who put it all out there, put it on the line. He was not ashamed to call us brethren. and we're ashamed of him? It's challenging, isn't it? So, when are you going to talk to your mom? When are you going to plead with your classmates? Oh yeah, right after they're dead. You were just fixing to say something. Boy, don't we get bold after the opportunity's passed? I was just going to... Oh! Silence is not golden. It's damning. What did the Lord say? I've set you as watchmen. If you don't speak, they will die in their sin. And their blood on your hands. I'll never forget, one night I was called out on an emergency 911 call and jumped in my cruiser, tore out in the countryside in the dark. A young man had shot himself right here. And when I got to him, I was the second officer on the scene. And young man knew me. I don't know how he knew me. He called me by name. The other officer was standing there, and this boy had blood all over him. It was just unbelievable. And he reached up to take the hand of this other officer, a good friend of mine who's not a Christian. And this boy had had every disease that you can have and still be alive. And I will never forget standing there over the bed of this truck where this boy was laying, blood all over him everywhere. And he reached up to grab Chris's hand. He was bleeding out. And that my fellow officer just... And we were all right there together. Everything's happening. And that boy reached over and grabbed me. And just instinctively, I just grabbed him. Just blood all over me. Time he got... He was just trying to, you know, pull you down. He said, "Don't let me die. Don't let me die." And later, the other officer apologized to me. He said, "I just couldn't do it." He said, "He's got this disease and this disease and this disease. Does it matter?" You and I are going to have to reach out and get a hold of people who are dying, folks. There's a cry for help. You may not hear it. All you may see is pride. You may see arrogance. You may see indifference. But we're going to talk later this week about the cry of the heart. And you need to hear and understand the cry of the heart. And you're going to have to... There's people going to be reaching out to you at all different stages. You and I have got to have something to say. That's why I'm just here in this morning service and this afternoon. I've given you opportunity. And you see how it's kind of weird. It's kind of hard. And we're friends here. We're a congregation, but it's just kind of difficult to pop up and say something about Jesus. Very quickly, one person here, man or woman, I don't care. Somebody stand up, say something about Jesus.
I thank God because He's the only one, and I'm the only one who I am still now. But then I thank Him for
still
helping me for who I am.
Amen. Thank you, brother. And see, this isn't a game. This isn't a test. But it's an exercise for us. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Okay? No, I'm sorry. There's one more over here. Somebody's wanting to stand up. Who is it? Anybody? Tell us something about what God has done in your life. Go ahead. Give us your bank account numbers. Just start with something. Start with something. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to talk about everything else? You know, in America, we are masters at saying absolutely nothing. When you get around people you don't know, you're uncomfortable in the elevator or something. But beautiful day. Yeah, well, it's hot. Boy, yeah, it's hot. We can talk about everything but the important thing. All right? Yes. One more over here. Yes.
The work that He's given me with children,
sure.
Because every day, being with them, they have special needs. I see myself in their and my own insufficiency,
but God's. Thank you, dear. Amen. We need to communicate with one another. It will reinforce. I'm sorry. I missed your chance. Time is running. And we've got to go on. But may I encourage you? The Bible talks about those that spoke often one to another about the Lord. The Lord's got a special book that He's written, the names of those believers who feed on one another and feed their faith by conversing with one another, as you're doing here. And I thank you for these testimonies. And we want to make that a part of our life and our witness. Okay, very quickly, please. We're in Philippians chapter 1. Run on down to verse 20. Here is a phrase in here that I think every honest Christian would be able to adopt as their own. This afternoon we're talking about building boldness in the heart and witness of a believer. And I need it. I'm 53 years old. Thank you very much. I know I look 32, but I got saved when I was 15 years old. And I have failed the Lord miserably just about every day since then. He's never failed me. Not one time. He is a wonderful Savior. And I love Him. And I want to please Him. I want to serve Him. I want to show through my life and through my witness what a great God He is. And we see here in Philippians 1:20, notice this. He says, my earnest expectation and my hope. You know, the world pummels us with all the, well, you got to be this, and you got to graduate, and you got to go on to college, and you know, it may be your parents beating you over the head, or your grandparents, it could be anybody, your friends, classmates. We have all this pressure to achieve and to be and to do and to experience all these things in the world's level. But for the Christian here, no, he says, my earnest expectation and my hope. You and I should. Maybe we should write these things down. I don't know if you keep a journal or a diary, but we need to start verbalizing and formulating who we are and what do we believe as Christians or what do we want to be. And Paul does this as he's writing to the Philippians. He said, my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I will be ashamed. And you know, man, we're so afraid of failing a math test or a science test or not getting in there. That's all the world stuff. Paul says here, I do not want to be ashamed, but that with all boldness I can proclaim my Savior. I think in our mission conference, as we talk about cultivate a heart for the harvest, this is one thing God wants us to do. Getting our attitudes right, being able to formulate and to verbalize, what do we want? What do we want God to do here? Lord, I've got some expectations. I've got a great hope that I'm not going to be ashamed of myself and I'm not going to embarrass You. But that with all boldness, I can proclaim Your Word. Very quickly, please, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We're talking about bold believers this afternoon, and we all need a good dose of it, don't we? And the Scriptures here will put iron in our blood and help us to proclaim the Word of God, not only to an indifferent world, but often to a hostile world. Anybody ready to go to Iran? Syria? Maybe wait a few days till after the smoke clears. You know, we think of Christianity like, oh, we'll go to a nice place where people are nice and have good yum cha. You know, we kind of think of it in these terms. But the Lord said, go into all the world and preach now. You know, we don't wait for the political environment to welcome us. We don't wait for someone to appreciate our gifts and talents or to pay us. He just said, go. People in Iran, Jesus loved them? As much as you? Nah. Yeah? Who is going to go tell them? Well, the government won't let you in there. Oh, that's right. Go into all the world as soon as you get your visas. Isn't it amazing? Jesus trained 12 people and they turned their world upside down for Him. All right, very quickly. Hebrews 4:16. Before you go out to a hostile or indifferent world, you had better learn the secret. Come boldly to the throne of grace, obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. This is the source. This is the fountainhead of boldness. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you can come boldly to the throne of grace, God, all power, holiness, the judge of all the earth, if you can go talk to Him, Ayatollah is a piece of cake. A Buddhist monk is a piece of cake. Hitler would be a piece of cake. Why are we so afraid of our parents, of our boss? What can they do to you? Lord said, don't fear men. Just all they can do is kill your body. What did the Lord say? I tell you who to fear. You fear him who cast your soul into hell. Now, that's kind of the closing comment on boldness. You can get it either way. My daddy's whipped me into doing a lot of things right. Did y'all get whippings here, or is that illegal? It was illegal in America, but my daddy just didn't know it was illegal. Call the cops. Go ahead. They'll be here and watch your last breath. Cool. What's it going to take for us to be bold? God says, you can come and ask me for it, and I'll give it to you. Or I can beat it into you. He said, you shall be witnesses unto me. I would much rather face my Lord knowing that He has loved me into being a bold witness rather than having to discipline me and correct me to speak for Him. Wouldn't you? Very quickly, shall we close in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 25, if you're taking some notes there. We're not going to be able to go to that. But he says, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's the key that opens the door into the Holy of Holies, the blood of Jesus Christ. And then in closing today, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, we're out of time. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, he says that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, very soon either your heartbeat is going to stop or Jesus is going to come back. But either way, that little sign flashes, game over. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not a game. Life over. You're going to stand before God. You're going to give an account for everything that you've done in this body, whether it's good or bad. Clock is ticking. Time is over. It's done. Your life is going to be just a vapor. And he says, we need boldness in the day of judgment. This is a warm-up. This is practice for us. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer. I'm going to turn this over to your pastor. I want to thank you for being here this afternoon, for listening so attentively. And my prayer is that God will use us as we spend time together this week to be a bold witness.